Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, September 24th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will go after a $4 million grant for the Blue Lake Dam to help fund a shortfall nearly 10 times that amount. Earlier this month, the Assembly approved a $92 million contract for Blue Lake construction, more than $40 million above engineers' initial estimates. The Assembly met Thursday night in a special meeting to authorize the grant application. If approved, the money would come from the Alaska Renewable Energy Fund. Utility Director Christopher Bruton says he likes Sitka's chances for winning the grant.
Based on poundage alone, our application should win. We have over 2,000 pages of technical documents that go with the grant application.
Bruton also said the grant would not harm Sitka's chances at securing additional funding for the state legislature. The Blue Lake Dam expansion was supposed to be a $100 million project, but the engineering estimate on construction fell short, and now the total project's price tag is around $140 million. Raising the dam 83 feet is expected to generate additional hydropower for Sitka, which has relied on diesel generators to supplement its needs, especially in the wintertime. The Assembly also held a work session Thursday night to discuss plans getting rid of two pieces of city property. The Benchlands is an area of land up above Halibut Point Road off Kramer Avenue. An ad hoc committee formed to come up with some options for the land. It recommended putting a quarter of it out for bid. The area includes four parcels. The ad hoc committee recommended a point system. Developers would score higher based on their plan for the land, the price they would offer to buy it, and the timeline for development. Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett said the option didn't address the issue of affordable housing, which was the point of forming the ad hoc committee in the first place.
I like the idea of a point system. I see how that could be beneficial. But I also can see a scenario that might be far-fetched, but a scenario where they would get so many points because their price was low or their price was high, they would get so many points in that arena that it would wash the affordable housing. And the priority is supposed to be affordable housing.
Assemblymember Tor Christensen said there are ways to address that concern within the point system by attaching points to the number of lots in the developer's plan.
The more lots the developer plans for, the higher they're going to score. And the more lots they are, the cheaper the lots are going to be because they'll be smaller, and the more they'll impact the market because they'll be hitting the market. 10 lots impact the market more than 5 do.
The city is trying to recoup its investment in the Benchlands. It paid $3 million for the property back in 2007 and has invested more since then to develop it. Assemblymember Mae McConnell says the city should also talk about the possibility of giving some of the land away as an investment in affordable housing.
When it comes to affordable housing, I don't think that the city should be in the money-making business. I think we need to be in the business of helping create workforce housing and elder housing, and doing that any way we possibly can.
The Assembly's deliberations continued, but because it was a work session, they made no decision. Gary White, speaking on behalf of the ad hoc committee, said when the Assembly does make a decision, it should feel comfortable experimenting a little bit. White said it's important to remember that the option favored by the committee is only for a quarter of the Benchlands. If it works, it can expand to the rest of the property, and if not?
Perhaps it's a terrible idea, and it didn't work out as we planned. You got 75% of the land to do option 5 or whatever on it, but The main goal is we're developing the Benchlands.
Separately, the Assembly heard a proposal from city planner Wells Williams to put the old city shops on the market. Williams proposed a two-step process. In step one, developers would present conceptual ideas to the Assembly. Once a winner is selected, the Assembly would negotiate the specifics, and that developer would bring back more concrete plans. Williams says doing it that way allows a wider range of interest, from traditional private development to low-cost housing providers. The item will appear on Tuesday's regular Assembly agenda. An Alabama woman who spends her summers in Sitka wrote a check to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp for $500,000. Carol Otis made the donation in support of Allen Memorial Hall, which holds a dance studio, a number of rehearsal rooms, and an auditorium. The building will keep its name, but the theater inside will be named in honor of Otis and her late husband, Jack. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Carol Otis lives most of the year in Alabama, but today she does not look like a woman from the South. She wears extra tough boots and rain pants, and sometimes can be found on the lawn of the Sheldon Jackson campus practicing her fly fishing cast.
This has become my second home. I plan on spending every summer here while we swelter in the South. That's okay. I'm up here. I'll take rain any day of the week instead of 100-degree temperatures.
She and her husband, Jack, have written big checks for the arts before. The Black Box Theater at the University of Alabama at Birmingham is named after them. They were friends with the university's president, who pestered them to help finish off the school's performing arts center.
And so she kept on and on and on, and finally Jack said, oh, we might as well do this because she's not ever going to go away. Of course, we were all good friends anyway.
Dr. John Otis was an ear, nose, and throat surgeon who retired from the University of Alabama in 1981. He started the nation's first clinic for people with cleft palates and helped create national safety standards to prevent hearing loss on the job. They found Sitka through a fishing trip to Baranof Warm Springs the last year John Otis was alive. After his death in 2003, Carol Otis started spending more time here.
And I came and stayed a month. Then the next time I stayed 6 weeks, and then I stayed 7 weeks, and then I stayed 5 months, and now I stay 4 months.
During that time, she often took walks past the campus.
And I'd look up, and I think, that's the most gorgeous sight sitting up there. It's a shame to see all that plywood where windows were closed up.
So when Alaska Arts Southeast, which runs the Fine Arts Camp, took over the campus in early 2011, Carol Otis called the organization's executive director, Roger Schmidt.
But we never talked money.
No.
You never ask for a large amount, and you had no clue in the beginning how much I was talking about.
Uh-uh. Yeah. Well, I remember saying, well, we have this really, you know, really pretty dance studio upstairs, and then you said, well, that sounds great. Tell me more about the building.
The more she learned, the more excited she became about the possibility of having another Otis Theater, this one in Sitka. She even showed up to do a little work.
I did. I swept the floors upstairs when they were trying to finish out the dance studios, and they were sawing wood and putting that floor down. So I've got the big broom, said, excuse me, you know, and they say, that's okay, you're not in the way.
But she also says her donation was about more than having a theater bearing the Otis name. It was about supporting Sitka, a place she's grown to love over the last 10 years.
It's a community where we know each other. We help each other. If you have a problem or you get sick, then somebody's going to see to you. So this is a beautiful campus. It deserves to be saved because it is so magnificent. But because of the sweetness of Sitka, then I just had to do this.
Otis says the money she contributed is not intended to replace the volunteer efforts that have gone into Allen Hall. Instead, it's to help those volunteers get the materials and the support they need to continue their work. And she says Allen Hall and the Otis Theater inside it will fit into its own niche in Sitka.
It's not going to replace, nor is it intended to replace, your Performing Arts Center. That's a magnificent space. It's gorgeous. This is our casual place, where if you happen to spill something on the floor because you were having a party, the world is not going to come to an end, you know?
Schmidt from Alaska Arts Southeast says the $500,000 from the Otis family will help with big needs. That includes adding heat and other work that will allow for year-round use. As Otis and Schmidt talk about the building, they sit on folding chairs in the middle of the cold auditorium. The walls are half up with exposed studs and insulation. The stage is dark and framed in plywood. But when Otis lets her mind wander a little bit, she sees what it could become.
I see the sheetrock up. I see this beautiful arch at the stage. And I see this with 300 people in here. I want the town to use this. And I think it's just absolutely beautiful. They don't build them like this anymore.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Petersburg project funding wish list could eventually include a new electrical substation to power a proposed lumber mill, but not yet. The Petersburg Economic Development Council recommended the city add the $1 million item to its project list with the understanding that no funds would be spent unless a mill is built on Mitkoff Island. While the mayor and councilors have expressed support of the idea of the new mill, they weren't ready to add a substation to their list of projects Monday night. Councilor Mark Jensen.
I think that's a little premature myself. We don't know if there's going to... I agree with the business coming to town, but you know, if we get it and they build a $1 million substation out there and no one builds a business, then what do we do?
A former mill owner from Washington State named John Glenn has proposed development of a new Southeast mill a few times over the years. He has ties to Petersburg and first laid out his latest plan a year ago in a meeting with the City Council Finance Committee. He wanted to build a medium-sized operation that would use a mix of young-growth and old-growth Alaska timber to manufacture finished lumber. At the time, he hadn't yet decided whether he wanted to locate in Wrangell or on South Mitkoff Island near Petersburg. Councillor Don Koenigs was excited about the possibility of a new mill near town. He suggested the city should consider using some of its economic development fund to make it happen, but he also encouraged a cautious approach.
We could use some of that money to help finance or help re-stimulate a timber enterprise within it. We should give careful consideration. Not say give away the farm, but we should at least be willing to carry on a sensible dialogue, and he should meet the requirements that the council has set in the past before we move forward with that discussion.
Last summer, the council promised to work cooperatively with Glenn if he chooses Mitkoff Island for a mill. Early this month, the city provided a letter of support for Glenn if he uses and applies for financing. The city has not committed any money to the project.